Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here. Pastor Adam Burden, I'm so excited that you would choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, if you're just joining us, we're in part two of a series in the Gospel of John, and it's probably going to keep us in this gospel for the better part of a year, and it's going to be amazing. But before we dive into John, I need to tell you the story of Ann Beeler. You don't know that you know her, but you know her, all right? And so Anne actually was a young Amish girl, and she actually had the opportunity. She married her high school sweetheart, Jonas. And it was funny that everyone always told Anne that you marry a man that loves Jesus more than you, because if he loves Jesus first, he'll love you best. And so Jonas was a man who loved Jesus. And so they had this storybook marriage. They had two daughters. They were a part of a thriving church, and in this church they were serving in the church and had a genuine relationship with God, and then everything was beautiful and wonderful until it wasn't. Their youngest daughter, 19-month-old daughter, early one morning snuck out of the house and was heading across the pasture to Anne's parents' home. And it was so early in the morning that one of the people driving a plow, a tractor, didn't see the little girl out in the field and actually ran over their daughter, and she died. And so you can imagine this young couple, man, that their life just began to spiral downward after losing their 19-month-old daughter. And her whole theological framework was shaken, because she thought, hey, if I just try to do good and love God, everything's going to work out beautiful and wonderful in my life. And so it sent her in this downward spiral. And the Amish culture, too, was one where you don't share your emotions. You don't process your feelings. You just jam them down. And so both Jonas and Anne, they began to grow apart. And so Anne, she sought solace from her pastor. And so she went to get some counseling from her pastor. And that night, her pastor seduced her. It struck off a six-year illicit relationship between the two of them. Come to find out, he had been sleeping with multiple women in his church. And then Anne just riddled with guilt and shame. And it was rotting her from the inside out. And so much so that she couldn't take it anymore. And so she had to confess to her husband, Jonas. And so that night, she told Jonas what she had been doing, and Jonas said this. He said, it was the most devastating day of my life. In an instant, I lost my masculinity, my spirituality, and my self-esteem all at once. And in his brokenness, he went away, but he sought wise spiritual counsel. And this counselor told him, Jonas, you might not want to hear this, and I'm not trying to reopen old pain. But he says, if you want to save your marriage, he says, you can do one thing. You can love Anne like Jesus loves you. And so he went back and he told Anne, he told her that, Anne, listen, if you want to go, you can leave, and I'll help you find a place, and I'll get you settled. But promise me this, you need to take our girls, because our girls need their mom. He says, but promise me that if you decide to stay, that you're not just going to leave in the middle of the night one night and leaving me a note. And she said, just hearing that from Jonas was this the one spark of grace that led to hope in her life. And the two, after that moment of grace, they begin to pursue reconciliation. They went to counseling. And after years, their marriage, they began to go closer and closer together. In fact, Jonas recalls, after several years of counseling, he remembers the day that Anne and he were walking in the mall. And she walks over close to him, and she grasped his hand. He says that was the first time in years my wife had physically moved close to me. She drew close to me. And he says, I felt like I was 9 feet tall at that moment. He stuck his chest out. And they realized that this idea of being a counselor, helping people process their feelings and emotions, was something they wanted to give their life to. So Jonas became a counselor, but in order to help pay the bills, Anne decided to do a side hustle, and she would bake pretzels to sell at a local market. Her pretzels were so popular, oddly enough, that even the recipe for the pretzels, she stumbled upon it. It was an accidental discovery. But how many know there's no accidents with God? And this little side hustle started to explode until it grew into a multi-million dollar corporation at over 850 locations. It is Auntie Anne's Pretzels. And if you've ever been into a food court or an airport, you've been captivated by the aroma of these amazing pretzels and probably dropped a few bucks to get a few of them, right? And so Auntie Anne's Pretzels, I pray whenever you see these pretzels now, it changes the way you look at it. Because Anne says this, it was my story, but ultimately it's God's glory. And I love this. She says her life verses. She says it's my entire life wrapped up in three verses. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1-3. It says this. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. You know, it's funny, even as I was reading this story, I got like all captivated with the pretzel. And did you know, even the shape of a pretzel, it's designed to be like two folded arms in prayer over a heart. And after sharing that story of Ann Beeler, I feel it just highlights where I want us to go today. And my prayer for us this morning is this, is that you would be it, know it, and love it. Here's what I mean by that. Our 3 points for today, if you're a point taker, is this. I pray that you would be it, that you would be a witness of Jesus Christ. I pray, number two, that you would know it. You would know that you're a child of God. And number three, I pray that you would live it. You would live your life filled with grace and truth. And so that's where we're headed this morning. And so we'll be in John chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 6-9. It reads like this. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And so I need to stop right there. This is not John from the Gospel of John, or John the son of Zebedee. This is not John Mark. This is John the Baptist, all right? And for the record, I don't know why, it seems like they only had like three names in the Bible back in the first century. It was like your name was either John or Mary or Elizabeth, right? So, but anyways, back to our text. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And so, if we can start here, our nation's pastor, Rick Warren, he's the best-selling author of The Purpose-Driven Life. And I love this book that sold some 50 million copies globally. Do you know that the opening line of Purpose-Driven Life, Pastor Rick Warren says this, it's not about you. And I love this. Reading in our text, if you look at John the Baptist, we realize this. John had a revelation and he knew this. It's not about me. He knew it was about him. It was about Jesus, the Word that became flesh and blood. Did you catch this, that in those three short verses, those four short verses we read three times, man, that John's pounding home this idea of that he's a witness. He's a witness. He's a witness. It's like the life of John the Baptist, it reverberated the sound of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. In other words, it was the echo of John's life was Jesus. And so that term that we read, a witness, it's actually the term martyrs in the Greek. It's where we get the word martyr. Martyrs, it means one who testifies, right? And do you know that people testify about things they love and believe? They just do. They can't help it. You're going to testify about things you love and believe. So, for example, man, we love our kids and our grandkids, right? And so it's funny. We had this couple, first-time grandparents, Tim and Tim Aquino. If you guys are watching, love you guys. But Tim and Tina Aquino, they had this video they wanted to show me of their granddaughter. And so they were so excited to show me this video. And I'm like, okay, what's going to see it? And it was like this minute-long video. And I kept waiting for kind of the shoe to drop. Okay, what am I watching for? And so they're like, wasn't that amazing? And to this day, I still don't know what they were showing me because the kid didn't do anything, right? But they were just so proud to show it to me. And in fact, just this past week at our church, Carlos and Michelle, they had their new son, Sebastian, and he is adorable, man. But it was so funny. I was like, oh, did he roll over yet? And they just swelled up with pride. He rolled over and I got it on film. And so here's why that's so hilarious. Like, can you just let's just hear what you're saying. I filmed my kid rolling over. And you know why? Because she can't, that she couldn't wait to post it and to show all her friends that, hey, my child rolled over. Why? We testify about things we love. How many of you have had just that friend who met the one, right? Aren't they insufferable? Like, that's all they want to talk about is their new love of their life. You know, it makes you give you that gag reflex. And every conversation always rolls back to them and their relationship, right? It's impossible to live with them. Why? Because they testify about that which they love. And then my daughter, Lizzie, she loves animals. She loves animals and tolerates people. And so, man, if you get in a road trip with her, man, my daughter, Lizzie, is going to talk to you about horses. And I'm just like, until my eyes glaze over, because it's just nonstop horse talk with my daughter. Why? Because she loves horses. We testify about things we love. We also testify about things that we believe in, don't we? How about politically? Man, you're going to hear from people, especially nowadays, what they believe politically. And I feel like just to keep this this morning even, I'm just going to leave it there, all right? But how about we love products, right? And you testify about products that you believe in. And so it's funny, my wife and I, at an early age, man, we got turned on to Cutco knives. Have you ever seen these things? They're insanely expensive and worth every penny. Like, these things are amazing. And so it was funny, my wife became a Cutco evangelist, man. And we had friends from church. We went in an RV show and they had a little pop-up Cutco station, and the dude was selling knives, and my wife was like an evangelist. She's like, you need to go see these knives. These Cutco knives are amazing. And I remember my buddy I'm with, he's like, man, these things are expensive. And he looked to me for moral support to jump in. And I'm like, sorry, bro, these knives are life-changing, man. And so we testify about things that we believe in. And so I say all that to say this, that if we truly love and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, shouldn't our life reverberate that of Jesus and the gospel? Like, shouldn't the echo of our life be one that just sings the praises and testifies to Jesus? And so it's funny, as I was going over in my head, I was just so proud of people in my church, like Sherry Sisko. was a she's a woman, and she has on tattooed on her footprint is the footprints in the sand, and it's how the Lord carried her through her cancer in a difficult situation. And it's amazing, she uses this tattoo as a witness to be able to share the goodness of the gospel. There's another guy in my church, a Hack Masser, and Hack, like he owns his own business, but I love it. In the construction world, though, all the other operators, they know this. Hack doesn't operate on Sunday. He'll be there any other day of the week, but Sunday, it belongs to the Lord, right? We have realtors, Rajan and Amica, they're realtors, but their main gist of selling homes is they might share the goodness of their Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll just say this as well. I get to, this is still fascinating to me because I was not a very good hockey player, but I have people to this day, I get like four or five pieces of fan mail a month. They send these hockey cards that they want me to sign and send back to them. So my hockey cards, for the record, are ridiculous. I'll show you a few of them. Like one, there's a picture of me sitting on the bench, right? Please, that's the best shot you can get, okay, of me sitting on the bench, not playing hockey. And then they have another one of me getting hit in the face with a puck, right? Seriously, is this the best they can do? but inevitably, they'll send me cards that they want me to sign my name on, an autograph. And each and every one, I sign my name, and then I add this verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. See, it's just my simple way, because I want my life to reverberate, to echo the testimony of who Jesus is, the Christ. What does your life echo? And then we move on. Point number two is this. So I want you to be a witness, but I also want you to know it, that you are a child of God. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. John says this, he was in the world, he being Jesus, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so, my first point is I want to highlight this. Did you catch that? Verses 10 and 11. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own and his own people didn't receive him. So this was a fascinating to me. You know, the Dolly Parton. Do you know that Dolly Parton, she once entered a Dolly Parton lookalike contest. And get this, she lost to a drag queen. So get this, like Dolly Parton, she would have checked all the boxes of who Dolly Parton is, yet she checked all the boxes, yet they decided, hey, we don't like this Dolly Parton, we like this other Dolly Parton, this drag queen Dolly Parton better. And in a real way, that's what happened to Jesus. Like Jesus came, took on flesh and blood, he came to his own, he checked all the boxes, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, born, he was of the lineage of David, of the tribe of Judah, a son of Abraham, right? He checked all the boxes, yet they decided, hey, we don't like this Messiah. We're going to wait for another Messiah, right? And so his own didn't receive him. But remember verses 12 through 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Like get this. Here's what that means. And so there's this kind of this false idea out there that we're all God's children. And biblically, you just read it. It's not true. Now get this. We're all God's creation. But only those who believe, he gives the right and the power to become sons of God. And so this is really heavy on me as I was preparing for this message. You have to get this, to feel the weight and the power of this reality. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, you are a child of God. Like you're not a beggar. You're not a servant or a slave. You are a son or a daughter of God. That God, his great joy is that you refer to him as Father. Jesus, when he was teaching us to pray, we're to pray, Our Father. And get that, did you read as well that that you're no cosmic accident? God, it was his will to make you his child. Like God wanted you to be his very own. He doesn't just tolerate you, but he loves you, right? And so it always makes me laugh. Like, do you know if dudes had to have babies, there would be no children on the planet, right? Like women, like I've been in that room twice, had two babies with my wife, and I'm like, thank Jesus, I'm a man. Like, you know, it starts, it's like this 9-month process, and it just starts like with nausea. Like I remember, man, my poor baby girl would have that morning sickness, and for whatever reason, man, seafood did not sit well with my girl, man. We had to pull over a couple times on the side of the road, right? And it's just so there's all that going on. How about you poor ladies? You start gaining weight, retaining all this water. It was funny, we were looking at when my wife was pregnant with our second, I mean, my wife swelled up with so much water and stuff like that. I'm like, baby, it looks like you're carrying our daughter in your face. I don't recommend saying that to your pregnant wife, but anyways. And then what, ladies, man, then there's just fatigue and soreness. You can't sleep or get comfortable. And then comes time for delivery. 9 to 10 hours of excruciating pain, and then the baby is born, right? And you have this child, and after all that pain and suffering, what's your child's first words going to be? Dada. Sorry, ladies. It's just true. Man, dada, daddy. You know, the first words that your children are going to say. And it was funny. I thought of that because this past week I was at a Panera for a lunch meeting, and I saw this daddy and his little girl. They were on a daddy-daughter date. And the little girl goes, she says, Daddy, Daddy, what do you think of my order? You know, she said that little order. But hearing those words, Daddy, Daddy, it was amazing. And I don't mean to be, over dramatic here. It stopped me. It stirred something inside of me. Man, being called Daddy, it is such an honor. Like, do you know in my will, I have a document that's to be read at my funeral, and it's just entitled, Don't Cry For Me. And in it, I list off just things that I'm grateful for. And just some of the things just off the top of my head, I'll say, hey, don't cry for me. I got to marry my high school sweetheart. Hey, don't cry for me. I got to fulfill my dream of playing in the NHL. Don't cry for me. I've had the privilege of being called daddy by two amazing little girls. See, one of the great joys of my life was being called daddy. And do you know this? That when you're born again, the Bible makes it crystal clear that there's a new word formed inside of your spirit. And when the first words we speak, Abba, Father, Daddy. I'll read it for you in Romans 8, verses 15 to 16. It says this, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Like that word, Abba, Father, or Daddy. Do you know, like Daddy, it speaks to this, like a one-of-a-kind love. It's a one-of-a-kind love. It's a unique love that when we cry, Daddy. It speaks to security and authority. It speaks to this unbreakable bond, this idea of Daddy. And here's what breaks my heart, and I know breaks the heart of God, is there's many of you that you're content to have a transactional relationship with God as creation and creator. And God wants so much more. Like the Father didn't send his son to the cross to die so you and he could be acquaintances. No, we read it. To those who receive him, he gave the right and the power to become children of Almighty God. And then number three is this. So remember, it's be it, be a witness, and then know it. Know that you're a child of God. And here's our third and final point is live it. Live a life filled with grace and truth. Grace and truth. John chapter 1, verses 14 and 18, it reads like this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because He was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." And so we read this, that Jesus was filled with grace and truth. Grace and truth. They always go hand in hand together. This idea of unconditional grace and yet uncompromising truth. They balance one another. They go together all the time. And so grace, if you're not familiar with it, it's this idea of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. And did you read? It says, because of the cross of Christ, we receive grace upon grace. Like we get two scoops of grace on our life. God's favor. And so my first memory of grace, unmerited favor. I remember I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. And man, as a little kid, I was a pyro. Any pyros out there? And for whatever reason, I found some matches. And it was early in the morning and I was playing with the matches. And I was near this old abandoned home and I was lighting these matches. And one of the neighbors, a man by the name of Mr. Viers, terrifying man, he snuck up behind me and he grabbed me. He says, "Are you trying to burn this house down?" And he started shaking me, this wild look in his eyes. Like it was a different day back then, man. Other people could spank you and do stuff. And so he is shaking me by the, and I just remember just being in terror and he was dragging me off. And he went to the next door neighbor's house, and that was Mr. Crawford. Mr. Crawford was a mountain of a man, but he had this soft, tender heart. And he says, "Oh, Mr. Viers, leave that young boy with me. I know him." And so he drugged me over to him, dropped me off. And Mr. Crawford sat me down on his couch. And I can remember I was so terrified. You got one of those cries where you're like, oh, right? You can't get your breath. And he says, calm down. And he says, "You know, you're not supposed to be doing that." And he says, "Are you sorry?" "Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Viers," or Mr. Crawford. And he goes, "Come here, son." He gave me a hug. And he sent me back home. Like, do you know how transformative that is? When you know you deserve a spanking, and yet you give a hug. Like years and years later, I still remember that moment. Why? Because it was grace. And grace is transformative. It's Les Mis. If you've seen the play Les Miserables, it's the story of Jean Valjean, this man with this hardened heart. And what happened? He steals from the bishop silver and actually roughs him up. And the authorities bring him back. And do you remember the scene where what is the bishop? He could have given him justice. It's what Jean Valjean deserved. But what does he give him? He gives him grace and a few candlesticks. And it was transformative. And it changed the trajectory of Jean Valjean's life. If you remember the quote, the bishop says this. He says, "Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil, but to good. It is your soul that I buy from you. I withdraw it from the black thoughts and the spirit of perdition, and I give it to God." Right? What? Grace, it changes you. And once you're a recipient of grace, you can't help but become an agent of grace in the earth. And so so we read that, man, the law demands some things, but grace takes it next level. So for example, the law can change what you do. But get this, grace can change what you want to do. The law says to do right, but grace, it can teach you to love righteousness. Do you see, those are different things, different ideas. And so for my daughters, I just always wanted them to sense the grace from their daddy, that there was this unmerited favor and love always on their life. And so when I would tuck them in at night, and so listen, I did this imperfectly and inconsistently, but I would tell them at night, I would say, "Baby girls, you know how much your daddy loves you? With all my heart, no matter what." and forever. Man, I'd make him, how much does your daddy love you? With all my heart, no matter what, and forever, right? And so they would do that. But I wanted them to just be steeped in the idea that their daddy's grace is always there for them. And you know why I wanted them steeped in that? Because there were going to be moments when I'd have to speak truth into their life as their daddy. Because remember, it's always grace and truth. And so we're to be filled with grace, but also be filled with truth. Truth, it's the idea, the way God designed the world to work and to lead to human flourishing. It's that the designer knows how the creation works best. So we had this argument with my wife. She said, I load the dishwasher. That's kind of my job in the house. And so she says, honey, you're not supposed to put the dish tab in the little dish tab drawer door. She says, you're supposed to just throw it in there. See, my girlfriend's friend, who is a construction worker, said that it works best if you just throw the tab in. And I'm like, okay, baby, let me get this straight. Your girlfriend's friend's friend, who's just a construction worker, said that it works better. I'm like, no, I think I'm going to go with the designer, what it says in the manual. And for the reality, the designer, he's given us the manual. Man, he says, my word is truth. And we can build our lives on this truth, and we align our lives with this truth. Man, life works best. It leads us into human flourishing. And so truth today, there's an attack on truth. See, the reality is this, that ultimate reality or truth, it's outside of us and it's fixed. And that should be very freeing. Listen, it's outside of us. We don't have to be God and figure out what's true, right and wrong, and all that kind of stuff. It's very freeing, and it doesn't depend on us. It's fixed. We can depend on it, right? But, see, the world has given us a lie. It said this, that truth is not found externally and fixed. Rather, you find truth internally, and it's relative or fluid, and it's absolutely devastating. See, we're actually, when you do that, you put the weight of having to be God on your life, and it's absolutely crushing. Like, you have to determine ultimate reality. You have to determine right and wrong, what is and what isn't, right? And it's absolutely killing us. For example, we've raised a generation under the weight of having to determine what ultimate reality really is, and it's created all this confusion. Like, did you know they polled Gen Zers, and do you know that only 49% of Gen Zers said that they could say with all certainty whether or not they were a boy or a girl? And that means 51% are not sure, or they wanted to be fluid in their decision, right? It's created all this confusion. It's created a depression and all this because you and I weren't designed to be God. Ultimate reality, that's God business, right? And so we need to be a people filled with grace, absolutely, but point people towards truth, towards ultimate reality, how God designed us to flourish in life. In fact, so sometimes you have to be against people in order to be for them. And so, for example, if my child is running through the house with scissors, get this, I don't want to hurt their feelings, but I also don't want my kid to die, right? If my kid's playing out in the street, they may believe that that's a good place to play, but ultimate reality will say otherwise. And so out of love for them, I'm going to speak the truth in love. Why? Because it's the way God designed the universe to operate. And so I don't want to hurt people's feeling, but I also don't want to cause people to live a lie. And ultimately, I don't want to hurt God's feelings, right? God says this, do you love me? He says, you keep my commands. Jesus would say it in another way, and we'll read it later in the Gospel of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so you and I, man, we're going to be a people of grace and truth, and we're going to live it, right? And so that's our message today. Man, be it. Be a witness. Know it. Know that you're a child of God, and then live it. Live a life filled with grace and truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we can gather around your word. Lord, we just we thank you and we love you. Lord, I want to pray. I have a strong burden for those of you, man, that you just have a transactional relationship with Jesus. And God wants so much more for you. Like that he died and sent his son because he wants you to be a son or a daughter. And my prayer is that you would sense that revelation in that unmerited favor of God to mark your life. And so I pray this morning, God, Lord, that you are birthing those within earshot, spiritual sons and daughters this morning, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, every nation, God loves you and has a great plan for your life. You know what? And our sermon's over, but we're not quite finished. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. Tithe simply means a tenth. We believe that a tenth of all that comes in, that we give a tenth back to God. And the promise of God is that as we honor him, that he's going to honor and care for us. And so thank you for those of you that have been partnering with us. There's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. My family and I always give that way. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you give. Listen, every nation, God loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a fantastic week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.